Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. In this episode, we tackle one of the most harmful misconceptions about the body's physiology, the difference between stress biology and trauma biology. Maybe like me, you've spent years downplaying your life experiences, thinking you should be able to handle things better, move on, and get over hurts from the past. It wasn't until I hit rock bottom with my physical health that I realized how much trauma impacts the body. If it makes you sick 20 years later, that wasn't just stress. That was trauma for your body. Now, this episode was inspired by a question from David, a social worker in Connecticut, who wrote me on LinkedIn and said, "Dr. Amy, I've always prided myself on being resilient through the hard things that life has thrown at me. But lately, I've been having digestive issues, brain fog, exhaustion. My doctor says it's just stress from work," which could be true. "Do I just need to do better stress management?" David, what a great question. I will be answering that throughout this episode and then directly at the end of this episode. Because in this episode, we are going to cover how trauma gets stored in the body, the patterns that trauma creates, the gut-brain connection and why brain inflammation, why chronic health conditions actually create a feedback loop, and the three levels of repair that's needed. Whether you're a practitioner supporting others or someone on your own healing journey, this episode will help you stop minimizing your experiences and actually start understanding the difference between stress and trauma for your body so that you have the right tools and in the right order to truly make the change that you want in your life. Let's dive in. The biggest myth that I see is that we've called stress trauma. We've called trauma stress. We don't know the difference. We haven't known the difference. And the result of that has been that what has been trauma for our body, we've minimized, we've downplayed, and we've shamed ourselves when our body has responses and reactions. And then we go into the beliefs about ourselves and the self-criticism and all of those things that are not necessary if we actually just understood the science of, was that a trauma for my body? Because if so, I need to do a very different approach for repair than if it was just a stress. I'll start by explaining it through my lens as a physician. The lens that I carry is that if it makes you sick 20 years later, that was not just a stress. That was trauma your body was experiencing in childhood. You may not understand why it was a trauma because you're looking at it through the lens of your adult self now, but that's not how you were experiencing it back then. You were experiencing it as a young child who didn't have the life perspective that you have now, didn't have the emotional bandwidth that you have now. So that's why my definition of trauma is now anything that for any reason at that time, overwhelmed your ability to understand, process, and respond. And when we consider the idea that really a trauma for a child is not knowing that they will be okay, that's a question that I've started to ask my patients. When did you first have that thought, have that feeling? I don't know if I'm going to be okay. And that's where we often identify trauma that they had also just downplayed and minimized as, well, it was just quirky family dynamics. No, it wasn't. And once we recognize that it was trauma for your body, again, that's important because it opens up solutions and tools that we don't have available to us as long as we're still just calling it stress. Because as long as it was just stress, we think that we should be able to handle it. We think that we should be able to not be bothered by it. We think that we should have been able to move on. And so we enter into this place of actually re-traumatizing ourselves by shaming ourselves when actually it could just be, wow, that actually had a greater impact on me than what I recognized at that time. Let me do the repair now so that my body can come out of that and truly move on and leave that in the past. So the idea is that trauma does get stored in the body. And we see that because of patterns. Now, I first learned how to recognize patterns when I was going through medical school. It's how we diagnose any health condition. We look for patterns. We look for patterns in the lab panel. We look for patterns in the imaging, the chest x-ray, the CT, the MRI. We look for patterns in the story. And when all of those patterns coalesce to create a cohesive story, well, then now we have your diagnosis. So my brain was being trained to look for patterns, look for patterns. And what I started noticing, started with my foster adopted son, is that there would be patterns of his response that he'd go from a playful child one minute and then to a raging, out of control human body flying at me in the next second. And at first, I didn't see the patterns. But then I started to recognize, oh, there is a pattern. It's every time that I tell him no. It's every time that we actually meet eyes and have a shared laughter, a smile, some moment of connection. There are patterns that trigger him. And this is the pattern of what he does when he gets triggered. So it was the same thing that I started seeing in my patients. Now, some may say that this is crazy, but it's the truth. There are patterns that we see in chronic health conditions. I started to see emotional patterns in those patients with autoimmunity. And then I developed autoimmunity myself. And that was when I realized it's not just other people who've had trauma. I've also had trauma. I didn't know it, but it's still been stored in my body. And I can see that it's stored in my body because it comes out of me. These are patterns that come out in my life, in my relationships, and in my health. I focus more on the health. And when I see certain chronic health symptoms, conditions, or diagnoses, I now see patterns of trauma stored in the body. So far in this episode, we've covered the biggest myth keeping us stuck, this difference between trauma and stress, and why minimizing our experience blocks access to the right healing tools, and then how trauma gets stored in our body and shows up as predictable patterns. What's coming up next? How your nervous system shifts into different states to keep you alive, and the real reason your digestive system acts up when you're emotionally triggered. I look at how the nervous system drives our life. And really, everything comes from our nervous system. Our nervous system is that system of our body that is, its whole purpose is to keep us alive. In fact, I remember even working with patients who had tried to commit suicide. And their nervous system was fighting for them to stay alive. Mentally, they were done. And their nervous system was like, no, we should still fight to be alive. I remember this older female. And her husband was in the other room watching TV and he heard a gunshot. She didn't successfully kill herself. And so she came into the hospital, which is where I met her because I was on that surgical team and we're trying now to repair her. She was in the hospital for quite some time. But the nervous system, its whole purpose is to keep us alive. And so it shifts between different states in order to best keep us alive. So for me right now, my nervous system is not feeling under threat. And it's in this parasympathetic, calm, alive, connected state because that is how it can best promote my health and my survival right now. But if there was an immediate threat outside my window, my system would shift into the sympathetic state. And because it's a whole state shift, everything changes. So that when our body goes into the trauma state, everything changes. So we can look at our thoughts. I will have a certain pattern of thoughts in the trauma state that are not the kinds of thoughts that I have when I'm casually talking with you. When I'm in the trauma state, my thoughts will be ones of hopelessness, will be ones of shame, will be ones of, I can't do this anymore. It's all too much. The sensations that I will have will be another way for me to recognize that my body's in the trauma state. I will feel very heavy. And that is literally because our vagus nerve has communicated to our whole body, shut down. Don't die, but stay barely alive. This is not the time that we want to be fully alive. We just want to be half alive. So we'll even notice our breath rate slows down when we're in the trauma state. You've seen this, right? Like the body shuts down into this, we're just barely alive. We're half alive. And so it shows up in our thoughts, in our actions, in our emotions, in our body sensations, and then in our physical health, because it's a whole state shift that takes over our whole body, not just one aspect. It doesn't just take over our mind. It takes over our whole body. That drives everything. And so when we are clued into these signs, then we know at any given point, in which state am I right now? Or if you're a practitioner, what state is my client or patient in right now? Because we see the signs all around. We just haven't known to actually use them as signs or that they are signs. I say that every chronic health condition has trauma patterns driving it. And that's actually part of what I share in my book, is that this idea that not only does trauma impact our biology, but that biology creates a feedback loop and keeps our nervous system stuck in that trauma state. And so for some, it could be that you had more of an environmental exposure, like autoimmunity. Autoimmunity has this trifecta that you have to have in order to develop autoimmunity. And one of them, one of those aspects, is this idea of environmental exposure to toxins. We've got toxins all around our environment now, so it's not hard to get that one in. But if that is a piece, even the development of autoimmunity will then create an effect on the nervous system to dysregulate it, decrease one's capacity, and anything that exceeds our capacity will put us physiologically into the trauma state. So this idea that every chronic health condition, every chronic health condition has by now created a feedback loop with our nervous system. And it really is what I call a body trauma loop, where it's just looping between stressed and overwhelm, anxiety and collapse and shutdown. And it's the constant loop. And I see this in all of them, right? Myself included, who have these chronic health conditions, because that's what the nervous system did. That's exactly how I knew that I had trauma work to do, was because I had these conditions develop. And I'm like, I know what this means. I never recognized that I had had trauma because I had downplayed it as well. But it's what clued me into, this is what it means to have a chronic health condition. It means that there is nervous system dysregulation that is part of the picture that maintains these physical health symptoms. Despite the title of my book, The Biology of Trauma, it actually is a message of hope. And for me, it's a message of hope because I didn't have any hope for myself until I learned this science. And the science gave me the insights to know, what does my body need? What are those leverage points that I have within myself, within my own biology, that I can look at my biology and say, okay, up until now, you've been a biology of fear, and fear creates inflammation. So what if I both address my inner fear and my inflammation? And then magic started to happen, and I started making more progress in therapy than I'd ever been able to do before, because now I was looking at it at all the levels that needed repair. I wasn't going in just trying to address my inner fears and insecurities without also addressing the inflammation that it had created over the years. And this idea that we're a whole body system. And so when we can come at it, it's almost like providing the container, creating the container. We're not just trying to come at it from one angle, because that's going to create imbalance. It's going to topple off the other side. But what if we created the whole container so that we're coming to your body and we're saying, ah, we see how much you're struggling. We see how much you're out of balance. Let's provide that safety on all the levels, with the therapy, with the mind, and at the cellular level. And that's when I'm seeing more progress being made. I call it accelerating the healing journey, simply because we're following the science of what the body needs, and we're able to do more when we follow the science. You know, as a physician in my medical training, there wasn't a lot of understanding of this gut-brain connection other than the actual anatomy, but there's so much science here. In fact, the research calls our gut our second brain. Some researchers say, forget the second brain, it is our primary brain. And so there is so much connection between them that you can't separate them. They're inseparable. And as I started my own journey, I realized how out of balance my gut was. Everything from leaky gut to the microbiome being imbalanced and overgrowth of bacteria and acid production in my stomach being off. Like everything was off. But then I ignored my body for a very long time. And when we look at what happens when there is that imbalance in the digestive system, it's creating imbalance in our brain. It's creating imbalance in our neurochemicals. So these chemicals that would normally help us feel okay, things like serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, like Dr. Sue Carter talks about, these are the resilient hormones. These are the resilient messengers. And they're not only just playing a role in our brain and with our mood, but with our whole body. We even know that more than 85% of our serotonin is made in our gut. GABA is another hormone, and it's a neurochemical. So it does all of these different functions, but it's also very predominant in the gut and throughout our muscles. And so when we feel our muscles tense, GABA is a really helpful supplement to take because you're feeding your nervous system this message of it's okay to relax. It's okay to relax. Now, there are these other neurochemicals that will come to play, especially as we have more inflammation or leaky gut. And that is caused by both the emotional distress and the environmental distress. But we look at what would those be. A big one is glutamate. Glutamate is actually a stimulating neurochemical. And so it's the opposite of GABA in the sense that GABA will relax you, glutamate amps you up. And if it gets too high or imbalanced with the others, it will create the anxiety. It will create that restlessness. And what I discovered was part of my journey was brain inflammation. And brain inflammation has higher levels of glutamate as a result. Why did I have brain inflammation? There are a number of ways to have brain inflammation, but it's caused by, get this, an immune cell in our brain that has been activated, and it's really gone into a trauma response. It's been activated to the degree that it sees so much danger that it has just unleashed inflammation everywhere and is killing everything, including the innocent bystanders. And there's so many people who are coming into therapy having these cells in inflammation mode and not realizing it. So they have the decision fatigue, the mental fatigue, the brain fog, and they're thinking that it might just be emotional or psychological triggers when actually, maybe. And it's also the fact that they're now so activated that any stress triggers them again. So a lack of good night's sleep, food that you're sensitive to, caffeine, coffee that has a little mold in it, it will trigger these microglial or immune cells in the brain. So that is a big piece as well to this gut-brain connection, because the more inflammation you have in your brain, the more that is going to cause this digestive imbalance. All right, my friend, what we've just covered is why your gut and brain are inseparably connected to your nervous system, how brain inflammation becomes part of your trauma response. Coming up next is the body trauma loop. And this is the loop that keeps you cycling between stress and overwhelm. And then we'll cover how to recognize when your biology is stuck in trauma patterns. So the whole idea of this biology of trauma is that it creates this loop that we get stuck in. Our gut is imbalanced, that causes brain and neurochemical problems, and that feeds back and causes more problems in our gut until we're just in this loop and we don't know how to get out. And that is going to greatly impact a person's ability to progress through their trauma therapy or personal development, or have the capacity or even energy and focus to be able to do some good work in therapy and not just go into shutdown because it's all so overwhelming. This became a study of mine because I recognized that this was happening with me. And I first learned about it through the perspective of functional medicine. So that was part of my story and where I got trained when I had my own health crisis and wasn't getting answers from the conventional medical treatments that I was a part of at the time. And as I'm learning through the functional medicine training about this thing called brain inflammation that I'd never heard about in medical school, I started to realize that I got these symptoms sometimes when I was having an emotional response to something. And I was like, I don't know if this makes sense, but I'm going to start tracking, which is what I recommend that everyone do with their nervous system. Just start tracking. Track your nervous system and you will be amazed at how much you learn about yourself in a week. And what I learned was that I was having the brain inflammation be triggered even in response to an emotional trigger. I remember one instance very particularly because it really was the first time that I've been able to watch myself have this reaction as a third person observer and not just as part of, well, this is just what I always do. But I was in surgery residency and I'm standing in front of my attending surgeon who's big, male, and he's got blue eyes, and it represented my father in every way. Represented my father, and he was reprimanding me just like my father had done. And I went into little girl mode. Like I went into that, like, I can never do anything right. I'm a failure. There's no hope for me. I am broken. I am defective. I might as well not even try. And the moment that I have this emotional response, I feel my brain shutting down. And I'm like, it's happening right now in real time. And so I'm studying this and I'm realizing this is part of the trauma response. Again, I had always seen the trauma response as something purely emotional, maybe psychological before, but not something that was actually triggering immune cells in my brain to unleash inflammation at that moment. But I realized as I dove deeper into the science of it, this is how our body protects us. Part of the survival strategies of the trauma response are to disconnect from our reality, are to go numb. And brain inflammation is a great way to disconnect, to go numb, to stop thinking because we don't have the energy to think. We actually don't want to use up our energy at that point once we go into the trauma response. So this was literally my body saying, I'm going to help you not care. I'm going to help you not know what to do. I'm going to help you feel paralyzed so that I can stop you and protect you and maybe we can survive this experience as well. So this is for me like just the fascinating science, knowing now that the brain inflammation is part of a trauma response. Sometimes it's what triggers it. Sometimes it is what's triggered by the freeze response, but they always happen together. And now that we know that, well, now we've got tools that we can bring in and say, not only let me work with this idea that this male figure still represents my father to me, and I go into little girl mode, but how can I support my brain inflammation so that it can tolerate a little more stress and it not get triggered into that inflammation? And so it brings in more tools, which again, for me is really exciting because in that means that there's hope, there's solutions, there's things that we haven't yet tried. And when we bring those into the equation and part of the whole treatment approach, we are able to make faster progress than if we're just trying to do one approach in one way. I look at the tools as ways to repair. And so the lasting impact that trauma has on our mind, on our body, and our biology are just ones that need to be repaired. And when I can repair them, it allows my body, my mind, my biology to engage their natural healing strategies that they already have. I don't have to teach my body how to heal. It knows how to heal by itself. This was also what I saw over and over again in surgery residency. I would perform a surgery, I'd make an incision, and wouldn't you know it, but if the right conditions were provided, clean skin, dry skin, the body would heal itself. I wouldn't have to do all these extra steps. We wouldn't have to talk about it. We wouldn't have to go to therapy for the body to heal itself. So this idea that the body knows how to heal. So if it hasn't, there's something that's blocking its own innate healing. And that's where I come in and say, we need to apply repair tools, repair what has been broken and repair what is continuing to block it. And so I categorize them by, well, what kind of repair are we doing? Are we needing to do repair of our fragmented selves and different parts of us? Are we needing to repair that young Amy self that's still standing in front of her dad and feeling ashamed with his reprimand? Well, yes, that is part of the repair that we will need to do. We will need to repair those fragmented, still hurting parts that are still stuck in fear. And we will need to repair the somatic level. So this idea that there are movements that we need to do. And when we are overcoming a threat, we are in movement. If we go into a trauma response, that movement stops. We call it the freeze response because our body paralyzes. We actually need to repair those movements that we didn't finish. And sometimes looking back, that may just be speaking up for ourselves. That can be a somatic repair that needs to happen. Sometimes it is an actual movement. So this idea that there needs to be a repair at the somatic movement level that we can do even years and decades later. But then for me, right, I'm the physician, so I'm going to really focus in on what's the repair that needs to happen at the cellular level. And there is repair that needs to be done because without the reset to safety, our body has held on to that trauma and it's created accumulative damage over the years. What does that look like? That looks like oxidative stress. In fact, oxidative stress is what creates the generational trauma that gets passed down through our epigenetics. Well, now that we know that, guess what we can start to repair? We can actually start to repair generational trauma and break the cycles. Without that knowledge, we're still stuck with this idea of, well, I've just inherited all of the traumas of my generations past, or there's nothing I can do to not pass that aspect down to my child because it's in my DNA. No, there's repair tools. There's repair that we will want to do for our immune system, for our digestive system. We want to repair the walls of our intestine so that it's not leaky and causing all of this inflammation. We want to repair the inflammation and the damage that's happened in our brain. So there's all this repair that can happen. And what I do when I'm working with someone is I'm prioritizing what is the most important thing for us to start repairing right now? What is the one thing that's impacting your life the most right now? Because that's where we're going to start. It all needs to be done. Don't get me wrong. It all needs to be done. There are no shortcuts. But we also don't have to try to tackle the whole mountain all at once because that's also overwhelming. And that actually puts our body back into that state of overwhelm and the trauma state, thinking, assuming, or expecting us to have to do it all right now. So we prioritize it and we just find what is my next best step? What is the next one thing that I want to repair to allow my body to be in a better place for tomorrow? Let's review what we've just covered because now you've seen why brain inflammation triggers even when you have an emotional response. And we've seen how the three levels are where trauma damage has been and needs repair. The parts work, the mind, the somatic movement or the body level, and that cellular healing. What's coming up next are the practical tools you can use right now to start repairing these three levels and how to align with your body's natural healing capacity instead of working against it. There is a lot that each person not only can do, but should do for themselves. there's this self-embodiment that has to happen. We can't run to other people to fix us, to save us. We've got to learn a certain level of self-regulation, self-embodiment, self-awareness for ourselves, because that is our only path to making changes in our life. Our therapist doesn't follow us home, so they can make suggestions, they can help us, but at the end of the day, it's up to us to actually execute. And we spend that time with ourselves. How are you talking to yourself? What are you eating? Are you feeding yourself as if you actually love yourself? These are what people can do in order to have that change that even if they are in therapy, I would want them to be doing for themselves. Get quality sleep. I know that people have sleep issues. I was there too. And it's an investment of time to have to experiment. What do I actually need to do to improve the quality of my sleep? Not just quantity, the quality. How are you measuring your quality of sleep? I got myself an Oura ring because I wanted to be able to test. What if I do this? What if I stop eating earlier? What if I take magnesium? There's all these things that we can invest in order to improve our sleep. And that, I mean, if there's only one thing that a person, if they could only do one thing, I think this would be it for their trauma work, is get better quality sleep. That has the greatest impact on your nervous system regulation while you're awake than almost anything else. When we sleep well, we're also going to be less reaching for those sugars and those fast energy, kind of sparks, because we're not as tired. And so it will have an impact on our nutrition and what foods we're eating, because our blood sugar levels really impact our internal stress, our anxiety, where that point is where we will cross from a stress into trauma response and overwhelm. So there's all of these physiological things. The last thing that I'll say is align with your body's circadian rhythm. Get outside. Get natural light as early in the morning as you can when you wake up. Don't look at your phone first thing in the morning. Don't look at that screen. Go outside and look at the sunrise. Get the sunlight. It's actually a time when you can get free red light therapy. Red light therapy is amazing for your mitochondria, which will help you have more energy, which will help you be less triggered because you'll feel more of a capacity. So there's all these things, right? Like I talked about the body having its innate healing strategies. It has all of this available to us. We just need to align ourselves with that healing strategy. And then we're friends with our body and we're a team with our body, and not feeling like our body is fighting against us in what we're trying to do with personal development or trauma therapy. And so that would be my message, is that the trauma that we experience in our life, even when we avoid it, it doesn't go anywhere. We can stuff it down. We can shove it down. It doesn't go anywhere. It's still waiting right there for us. And so if we really want to be mentally strong, we need to go pull those weeds from the root, not just at the surface level, at the root, because that is truly the best way, the only way to really create that true mental resilience, and it not just be something that we're faking. Now, to answer your question, David, our body communicates to us with sensations and symptoms. Your nervous system is telling you that it is holding trauma. So just stress management is not the right tool for you. Maybe those childhood experiences were actually traumas for your body. Maybe it was something else. Either way, your digestive issues, the brain fog, and exhaustion are patterns of a biology of trauma. I cover patterns in my book in chapter 9. Patterns, the patterns of pain is what that chapter is called. Because look at it this way. If those experiences are making you sick decades later, they weren't just difficult. You were resilient because you did survive, but that resilience comes at a cost, and one that we often don't pay until we are adults. Your body knows how to heal. It just needs intentional repair, not just anything and in whatever order, intentional strategic repair based on the science of how our body even went into the trauma response. It will now need the essential sequence, the three steps in a specific order to come out and truly be free from the impact of the past. It is possible to repair a biology of trauma. That's why I wrote the book, because it is possible. And I do not want you to think that this is your life sentence to have physical health issues the rest of your life. All right, let me dig into the specific resources that I will have for you in the show notes. One of those is my book, The Biology of Trauma book, How the Body Experiences and Holds Fear, Pain, and Overwhelm, and How to Heal. You can order it now. If it's still in the pre-order window, well, then I will have bonuses for you on my website. Go there. If it's already out and ordered, then you can get the resources associated with the book. The Essential Sequence Guide. If you're curious about this essential sequence, I'll have that guide. If you are ready to start actually going through the essential sequence, you will want to join me for the foundational journey. That is where it all starts. And it's also where you start if you want to become a biology of trauma professional. There are a few related podcasts that if you like this one, you should go listen to those. Episode 48 on bracing and hypervigilance, and episode 122 on the shutdown step of the trauma response. I did a YouTube video on the difference between stress and trauma, so I'll put the link to that in the show notes if that is a resource for you. I am here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the human journey. So please take a moment to subscribe. Click the subscribe button, please. And would you take 1 minute to think about the value of this episode and then leave a review? Your feedback is how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help others find the information that could change their life as well. Until next episode, I'm your host, Dr. Amy, and lots of love.